are wrestling.
Olympic hero Kurt Angle, and you're listening to the We Are Wrestling Podcast. We Are Wrestling Podcast.
Batista!
Let's flip and go.
You're watching We Are Wrestling.
No!
I'm the host with the most.
You are by far the least intelligent.
What is going on? We Are Wrestling Maniacs. Ben here, one half of the We Are Wrestling Podcast.
We Are Wrestling Podcast.
Make sure to subscribe, baby.
We are wrestling.
What is up? We are Wrestling Maniacs out there worldwide. I'm the host with the most, Mr. We Are Wrestling himself, the best one, Donnie, here with my co-host.
What is going on, everybody? Ben here, Uncle Ben, America's favorite uncle, one half of the We Are Wrestling podcast. How you guys doing? Today we got a pretty stacked episode for you guys today, and really, really exciting news. So before we get into that, Don, take it away, buddy.
Gotta say, Ben, it feels weird to be doing a normal episode because for the past 2 weeks, we've done, you know, back-to-back lives, you know, with the stressful holidays, but now we are into the new year, our first, you know, new episode of the We Are Wrestling podcast of 2024. But if you're not a We Are Wrestling maniac yet already and you're listening to the podcast, give us a 5-star review, not just any review, a best one review, and download the episode. But if you haven't checked out the We Are Wrestling YouTube channel, and if you're currently watching this and you're not a part of the thousands of subscribers, we recommend you to hit that subscribe button now, turn on the post notifications, videos be coming out of nowhere like an RKO, and of course you already know, the grind is real.
Yeah.
And a couple things we want to talk about before we get into our highlight of the week. First and foremost, if you guys have not checked out, you know, some of the reactions this week, I reacted to The Rock showing up on Monday Night Raw, which is our main event topic of We Are Wrestling 90. And, of course, you know, Adam Cole's first promo as the devil, revealing himself on Dynamite. You could check those out over on the We Are Wrestling YouTube channel. And another thing I do want to mention as well, We Are Wrestling has joined Patreon in 2024. And this month, we are going to be giving away a WWE Elite 106 Jey Uso figure. Yeet.
Yeet.
And we do have 3 different tiers, which if you guys want more details on all of that, we do have a We Are Wrestling 2024 update video over on the We Are Wrestling YouTube channel. We have 3 different tiers. We have the Maniac tier, we have the Main Eventer tier, and we have the Legend tier. And, you know, if you want to enter for this Jey Uso, all you got to do is become a Patreon member where we have a bunch of exclusive content that you cannot get over on YouTube or Apple or Spotify or social media. Let's freaking go.
Let's get it.
So, Ben, I gotta ask you, what is your highlight of the week?
Honestly, probably our main event topic because it's finally fucking happening. Probably our main event topic. The fact that it's actually finally happening and it's not just a quick stint or like a one-off, like the dude could be back as early as Friday. So like The Rock could be showing up at fucking SmackDown. So I sent you something pretty interesting in the group chat earlier today, and it was a random post that I had seen. I forgot what the source was, but I'll check again. But it was one of those that I see quite often, and they're pretty spot on about like shit like that. And if that's the case, WrestleMania season's looking pretty stacked. So that probably would have to co-align with my highlight of the week.
You know, I feel like on a normal week, The Rock would be my highlight of the week. I was very excited about it. But I think a little bit, some of my excitement went away when I saw, you know, a picture of The Rock at ESPN. And you all, obviously everybody saw Nick Khan in the background, so we knew something was up. It was still such a cool moment. But because it wasn't just, you know, a normal week for me, my highlight of the week has got to be AEW World's End. Not because, you know, I was at home watching it on pay-per-view. I was there in Long Island, New York, live. And the Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage match, that is my highlight of the week.
Like, it was incredible.
Dude, it was incredible. Like, the best part about it was they, you know, went into the crowd, which was actually really close to where I was sitting.
I know, I was looking for you.
Jumped off the balcony, which that was awesome.
And he was wearing his classic Foley gear from fucking WrestleMania 22.
And then also, too, the crowd, you know, we all chanted, "We want tables, TLC." We get the tables, we get the TLC. And then we started a fire chant with the tables. And I'm not going to lie to you, Ben, Uncle Ben, I did not expect to have a fire table spot, and it happened.
Hey, man, especially, and it was also a very wise move to have it be, you know, Nick Wayne being the one to take the bump. Unfortunately, I would have preferred somebody a little heavier, because then we would have seen them go through the table and not bounce off the fucking table and knock it over. But for what it was worth, it was a good spot. It gave some nostalgia vibes. We got to see Edge giving the, you know, still delivering the pain just in a different way. You know, again, the classic Foley gear, you know, automatically, you know, people use different masks, people use different, you know, attire to, you know, kind of tap into a different place. So, you know, seeing the classic Foley gear from WrestleMania 22, we knew it was going to be a fucking banger. However, if I were Beth Phoenix, I would have whooped his ass the moment he got home, because dude, he did a lot of crazy bumps that, you know, I would have deemed questionable if I were Maroon or Beth Phoenix. You know, 100%, I'd be like, we cleared you, motherfucker, for regular matches, not this shit.
You were in like, you're way for a little too, nuts. Too long. Like, you're being a little risky here, but
you got the edge working, per se, but you're getting way too comfy.
Working with, you know, somebody that you Christian know, grew up with, and somebody that we know
there was nobody better
than a safe worker. There's nobody better. Exactly.
Absolutely, dude. And just because of that chemistry and because of that history, the way that it was, you know, introduced along with Edge's debut, the angle, just the timing was right. Everything about it was just great. And it was a match that we've been dying for a long time. And I think that it definitely overperformed for sure. It was definitely a 5-star classic.
Opinion, easily the match of the night.
The only thing that's I can't get over, and it's just like, I know that it's, you know, it is what it is, and people, you know, people could shit on me for this or whatever, it would be a 5-star, and honestly for me it does qualify as a 5-star classic, but it would be a flawless 5-star classic had they got someone who could have actually went through the table. That's so my biggest flaw of the match, and that really does rock it for me.
I have a perfect segue, because speaking of 5-star matches and finishers, over on our We Are Wrestling Patreon page, if you become a main eventer, which is only $5 a month, the first returning episode of We Are Wrestling Old School versus New School, myself and the voice of the faithful, Phil, we talk about 5-star matches, we talk about finishers. It's such a great discussion. It will be coming out next week. And this month in January, I'm not going to lie to you, Uncle Ben, it was tough to pick a highlight of the week, because this month I feel like is going to be a huge month to start the year off in 2024. We have TNA coming back next week, which I will be live here on the We Are Wrestling YouTube channel doing a watch
hard to kill, right?
Hard to kill. And not only that, we have the Royal Rumble stream January 27th, that Saturday. The biggest stream, and We Are Wrestling. We're going to be live for it. It's going to be a great month of pro wrestling. And we already started off with The Rock, and it's only going to get better and better. So with that being said, let's dive into the We Are Wrestling Weekly Recap for the We Are Wrestling Podcast. Episode 90.
God damn.
I know. That's what I'm saying. God 90 damn. Episodes. We're getting old.
Oh, wow, man. 90 episodes. Holy shit.
So our first topic for, you know, our first recap for this week's episode, Speaking of Adam Copeland, last Saturday, we saw Adam Copeland win the TNT Championship against Christian Cage at World's End. After the match, Killswitch, Luchasaurus, attacked him and gave Christian Cage his contract that he won earlier in the night for a shot at the TNT Championship any place, anytime, similar to the Money in the Bank contract, just for Christian to win it back. What's your thoughts on their match that happened this past Saturday? Last Saturday, I should say.
Clever in a way. Like, I could see where they were going, and they like it's kind of dope. However, that face turn and that ass whooping that Christian's going to receive from Killswitch is going to be fucking so satisfying. It's going to be so goddamn good. And I'm really excited about it, and I couldn't wait. No, I'm saying for future reference, how they did it immediately right fucking there, honestly, really just grinds my fucking gears, because that was the first time that Edge has had a championship in, like, what, 13 years at this point? Yeah, 13 years. At this point, 2011 was, like, his last World Heavyweight title. So yeah, so 13 years now at this point, almost.
Wow.
Almost 13 years
almost
at this point.
Almost 13 years, yeah.
And he holds it for 5 fucking minutes. Like, I get long-term storytelling, X, Y, and Z, but, bro, this was the avenue. This is where we should have just cashed it in and just let him walk. And a lot of us saw that shit coming from a mile away the moment that Luchasaurus, or Killswitch, rather, the moment he won that contract, you knew who he's linked to, and you know what the fuck's gonna happen. You can easily put two and two together. It's unfortunate, and like, and that's something I have a lot of beef to pick with when it comes to creative, in terms of, like, you know, I don't know who has their hands on, if it's just Tony Khan or, you know, who the fuck, you know, is in creative. But that finish was fucking awful to a really great match. You could have fucking walked away with that and could have had a 5-star match, but
I will say this about that.
Had to fuck it up.
I agree with you 100%. I will say the only good thing about that finish, in my opinion, and I'm trying to be like devil's advocate here, is, you know, Christian Cage getting more heat. Because when he did, you know, take that moment from Adam, me being in the crowd, you know, watching all of this,
you're genuinely
live,
pissed off,
you're generally pissed off. And this is coming from somebody who is more of a Christian Cage fan than an Adam Copeland, an Edge fan. And
You could suck a phone.
No, but you. But here's what I'm trying to say. You know, I like Christian Cage more than Edge, and even I was pissed off about what happened. I wanted to see Edge win the TNT Championship.
Dude, I did not know that. That's why I feel betrayed right now.
What do you mean?
You never told me that.
I've been talking about it the last few weeks on the podcast.
Nope. Not that I remember. Not that I recall.
Oh, man.
That's news to me.
Yes, I am more of a Christian Cage fan. I don't know why. I just am.
But you have a dad. But you have a dad. A really good one at that. So why do you love Christian? No, you have splaining to do, sir. You have a dad. That's fucked up. He is America's father, not your father. Fuck out of here. That's some heel shit.
Yeah, and also I got to kind of kiss up to him because I do have the Attitude Era Tag Team Championship signed by the Dudleys, the Hardys, Edge, and all I need is Christian Cage.
Which is like the easiest thing you could have done in like the last like 10. Actually, no, he's been like under WWE for a long time, actually. Never mind, that's actually hard.
And
Never
it's
mind.
Very rare for him to do like appearances in like this area, but yeah.
That's crazy that you got Edge before Christian, though.
That, to me, is crazy.
That's crazy.
Because if there's anybody that I thought I wouldn't be able to get that title signed from, it was Edge. But now I do got to give, you know, I do got to give my thoughts on this. And I do think that it was a great finish for Adam Copeland to win the championship. I kind of went, like, I'm happy that the storyline's going to continue. That's the only pro I see in this. But, like, the whole contract thing, like, that sounds like a backyard wrestling thing that I did when I was a kid. Where, like, you have a contract, you, like, grab it. With, like,
and all it is a clipboard.
It's a clipboard, and then you come out with the clipboard, and he cashes it in, like, I don't know. Like, at least the Money in the Bank is a briefcase, and, like, there's actual, like, time, and, like, it doesn't come off corny. Like, it felt like Luchasaurus coming out with that clipboard, it felt corny. Like, it just didn't like, I don't know.
Not the clipboard.
I'm not a fan of the whole clipboard. Like, I don't know. They could have done the clipboard.
Look, the last person that made it cool was Jericho, and he's in some hot water right now. So, anyways.
So, my last thing I will say about this, I felt like there was like 10 other ways to write something better than they did. I am happy that the storyline will continue, hopefully until Revolution, and then Adam Copeland actually does win the championship, and we can finally move on. But I do love the storyline. I am invested and can't wait to see what happens moving forward.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's, you know, it's two individuals and a tag team and two legends in their own right that are in the ring again together doing shit that we thought we were never ever going to see again because both were medically disqualified. So it's kind of dope.
Exactly. But moving on now to the next, you know, recap at AEW World's End. We saw Samoa Joe defeat MJF for the AEW World Championship. After the match, the Devil was revealed as Adam Cole with Wardlow, Mike Bennett, Matt Taven, and Roderick Strong. What's your thoughts on Samoa Joe winning the championship and the Devil being Adam Cole?
One, I think we all called the Devil, you know, months ago, and you know, with the moment they got together, I feel like, you know, we knew it was gonna, nothing good ever lasts forever, and we knew that. We knew immediately, I think, at Wembley when the Devil mask was right behind Adam Cole, and him and fucking MJF were having a moment. They shook hands in the locker room, and that kind of like solidified it right there. And then you had all these people on the Easter eggs they were laying around with everybody that had a beef to pick with MJF. Wardlow being part of it, not surprised, especially since he returned with MJF on his wrist. He knew what he was doing, and there was no mention of him before. Yeah, and there was no mention of him before or prior, and all of a sudden, he's with Adam Cole now, aligned. Roderick Strong, not fucking surprised. You know, there's a lot of things here where it just, it felt lukewarm in that direction. However, Samoa Joe working with him, total Samoa Joe move because it's for his own benefit. He don't give a fuck, even though him and MJF have,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly, and I think that's the thing a lot of people are not talking about is that,
but,
right there.
Yep, but I do have to say it's long overdue that Samoa Joe has had a world title reign in a long time, and I think that this was a long time coming, and Joe is the best person to do it, especially since he's been injury-free for some time now. However, I don't know how long it's going to last because season 2 of Twisted Metal starts filming pretty soon, and he's one of the main characters and is needed like every day on set. So I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know, you know, or how long it's going to last, but I am proud to say that he is a world champion right now because, it is very long overdue.
I, you know, have to agree with that. I am very happy for Samoa Joe because if there is anybody that absolutely deserves it, it's definitely him. Now, my opinion about the ending for, you know, World's End, besides the sick, you know, cinematic shot of Adam Cole sitting in the chair with them, you know, revealing the mask, yeah. I thought that was a great cinematic shot. I felt like there's so many other finishes that they could have done better, just like Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. So now getting into this, you know, obviously I'm happy for Samoa Joe, but they had him do, you know, the Rhea Naked Choke to MJF. And normally when, you know, you're, you know, putting somebody in a submission, you know, the referee grabs, you know, the opponent's arm. And if they, you know, they raise it up and, you know, they throw it down. And if they can't lift their arm after three, they lose, but it has to hit the mat. And MJF, his arm didn't hit the mat on the three. It was, you know, more towards his body. So they kind of messed up there when it comes to wrestling, you know, fundamentals 101. And I didn't like that because obviously, you know, that's this is a big moment for Samoa Joe. So I didn't really like that. And, you know, when it comes to MJF and Adam Cole, there's so many other ways that they could have done this. Like, why, like, if you're thinking about it from Adam Cole's perspective, why would you screw MJF so that you have to go against a monster like Samoa Joe? What logical sense does that make?
Well, here's the thing.
Wouldn't
I think
you want
this
a
was...
broken MJF?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think the title was the whole idea right now, especially with fucking Adam Cole being injured, and he's still got time before he can even step in a ring again like that. Mm-hmm. Two, this was about also writing MJF off, you know? So there's no, I don't see a title angle between them right now. I don't see Samoa Joe and Adam Cole anytime soon. Maybe everybody that had to do with the devil might get a shot, but Adam Cole, it's not happening. It was just to write MJF off.
Before you do continue, I will say this. During the promo on AEW Dynamite, Adam Cole mentioned in the promo that he's going to have Wardlow take the championship from Samoa Joe. And then when Adam Cole is cleared from his injury, Wardlow is going to give him the AEW world title like Luchasaurus did for Christian.
All right, next topic. Because that's fucking stupid. Just next topic.
Yeah, so I don't know. Just overall, like, I'm happy for Samoa Joe, and I'm kind of curious to see where this goes. I definitely think MJF is not going anywhere. He's staying in AEW. Once he, you know, gets cleared, he'll probably screw Adam Cole for the championship, and then their feud will happen. But now moving on to our next topic here. This past Wednesday on AEW Dynamite, we saw the debut of Deonna Purrazzo, former, you know, Impact Women's World Champion. What's your thoughts on her joining All Elite?
She's made a bang out in, you know, Impact, now TNA again. I don't know. I mean, right now, I like the introduction. I think it was pretty great. I think I'm going to need to see a little bit more mic skills in front of a bigger crowd like AEW. I'm going to need to see the, you know, the green wear away from the gills a little bit in front of the crowd, because it felt a little forced, because you could definitely hear how nervous she was. However, cool. You know, you made a big enough bang to get interest from another company that is doing pretty well right now. And this is another way to hopefully get on somebody else's radar to hopefully get them interested. So I think that this is wonderful. You know, this is a whole new future for somebody else that could definitely bring a little bit of spice to a women's division that is in need of it. So, yeah.
Stoked. The Virtuosa, man. I am so happy for Deonna, because
don't they already have a Mafiosa that they're not using?
Wait, what was that?
I said, don't they already have a Mafiosa that they're not using?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But when okay, it comes to the Virtuosa, Deonna Purrazzo, you guys all know firsthand, if you're a listener of the We Are Wrestling podcast, and I'm an advocate for independent pro wrestling, and I got to watch her in the independents, you know, wrestle for Northeast Wrestling for years before getting the opportunity that she got in NXT. And, you know, due to injuries and, you know, lack of booking, you know, she took a chance on herself when she got released, went over to TNA, reinvented herself, and, you know, both WWE and AEW showed a lot of interest in her going into free agency. I'm not going to lie. I thought she was going to go to WWE, and, you know, now that Triple H is running things, and, you know, she has had a history with Chelsea Green, you know, as her tag partner, I thought we could have gotten something there, but AEW, you know, threw her the bag. And honestly, I think that this is great for their women's division, because right now WWE's women's division is stacked. And I think AEW, they need somebody like Deonna. She brings something different to the table. And I think that, you know, this is a great signing. And honestly, I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah, I'm excited, man.
But now getting into our last, you know, recap for this week, something we never talk about, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Our buddy Ricky knows best. He will Ricky be sending in best. A video after Ben and I give our thoughts on, you know, the debut of Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth. So in case, you know, you've been hiding under a rock at Wrestle Kingdom, we saw the debut of Nick Nemeth going face-to-face with David Finlay, who, you know, ended up winning their global championship. What's your thoughts on Nick Nemeth joining New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Fantastic. He gets to tread the waters again. You know, he gets to do some pretty insane shit, because Japan don't fuck around, man. Like, they're a lot harder hitting. They're a lot more laxed in terms of rules per se. So I'm really excited to see a different kind of side of Nick Nemeth now, formerly known Dolph Ziggler. You know, it's going to be really sweet to see how he reinvents himself somewhere else. I'm pretty glad that he didn't end up in AEW because he would have gotten lost. He would have gotten lost along the shuffle. And if anybody can hang out in Japan, it's Nick Nemeth. So I feel like it was a really, really good grab, a really good opportunity for everybody involved. And I hope that, you know, everything is prosperous for his future.
And I gotta say this, you know, we're recording this right now on Thursday. So all morning long, you know, I'm working and my social media is blowing up with all of these, you know, videos of him arriving at the Tokyo Dome, you know, starting that confrontation with David Finlay, and then the whole press conference, him attacking him, and, you know, vignettes on, you know, his Instagram. I am very invested in this. And honestly, I gotta say, man, he has done a fantastic job these past 90 days staying under the radar. And a lot of people really thought that he was going to go to TNA because there are reports that, you know, they did sign somebody to, you know, a big contract. And, you know, there are reports that, you know, he was going to go to AEW, the team with his brother, Ryan Nemeth, who, you know, is under contract over there. And that's like, honestly, where I thought he was going to end up going. So seeing him, you know, on, you know, Instagram and, you know, X, these videos, I was completely shocked. And honestly, this reminds me a lot of Chris Jericho back in 2018 with him and Kenny Omega, because I felt like, you know, what New Japan Pro Wrestling was doing in this situation was, let's bring in somebody that, you know, everybody in the wrestling business knows, and let's get people talking. So by having, you know, Nick Nemeth, you know, show up, you have a, because he has a pretty strong fan base. So you're bringing in a lot more eyes to New Japan. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, and I already told Ricky this, dude, I might have to be paying attention to what Dolph is doing over there. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested.
Now it all begs the question of who the person going to show up at Victory Road is. Now I'm interested. So at Hard to Kill, rather. Sorry, not Victory Road. Sorry, I was thinking about a very dark, dark time back in 2011. Sorry. Yeah, it got real dark for a second. But no, now it begs the question, who's going to be a Hard to Kill? Because now I'm starting to think, is it Shelton Benjamin?
Shelton got the bag. That's why he made that video. The whole...
I guarantee it's Shelton Benjamin now. I guarantee it's Shelton now. It's going to be Shelton. 100%. It's probably going to be Shelton Benjamin showing up at fucking Hard to Kill.
Man, we're going to have to wait and see. But what a weekly recap we have.
That are Ali.
Obviously, The Rock is, you know, the biggest thing that happened, but we have to save that for the main event. So now, guys, before we go to, you know, our break, guys, everybody's favorite segment here on the We Are Wrestling podcast.
Ricky knows best.
Ricky knows best, and he's going to give you guys his thoughts on Nick Nemeth, Dolph Ziggler joining New Japan Pro Wrestling, because Ben and I, believe it or not, this is our first time talking about New Japan, and Ricky is a diehard New Japan fan, so he knows more than us. So guys, let's hear from Ricky Knows Best.
Ricky knows best, ladies and gentlemen. Ricky knows best. Believe in me. God bless you.
It's me, Ricky Williams.
Moxley's just as crazy as him.
No, Ricky! Bullshit!
They do it too sometimes. I'll be catching it.
It's me, Ricky Williams.
Stop playing.
But that's my opinion.
He's so over.
Ricky knows best, ladies and gentlemen. Ricky knows best. Believe in me. God bless you.
What's up, We Are Wrestling? This is Ricky Williams, aka Ricky Knows Best. Shout out to Donnie, the best one. And then shout out to Ben, the Lone Ranger, aka Uncle Ben. Now, everybody wants my thoughts on Nick Nemeth, also known as Dolph Ziggler. They want my thoughts on him joining New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think it's a fresh start for him, and I think it's a good way to put him back on the rises and on top of professional wrestling, even if you got to do it in another promotion. Because sometimes getting your name back up in another promotion, it matters a lot. And I like that he's in New Japan, because the Foreigner, aka Jai Jin Wave, is in question right now, in my opinion, because of Will Ospreay signing to AEW. But I think David Finley, he's going to do well. He's going to do well. But in order for that, division, that American side of New Japan to flourish, they need top guys like Nick Namath and David Finley. Them brawling after the match in the press conference, the perfect seeds to come. Storytelling in Japan at its finest. I would really like to see them go at it for the global championship. I think it'll be a good match. And to put Nick Namath on top again. If I'm announcing his name wrong, I apologize. Nick Namath. I gotta get used to calling him that. But it also is David Finley's chance to prove himself that he actually belongs on the top. But that's just my opinion anyway. That's Ricky knows best anyway. I'm looking forward to this one for the global championship. I don't really like the championship either, but you know. But yeah, those are my thoughts on Nick Namath, also known to wrestling fans as Dolph Ziggler. Those are my thoughts on him joining New Japan for wrestling. It can be very good. And I like to see where it goes from here. So peace out. Thank you. God bless you all. Have a good one.
Ricky knows best, ladies and gentlemen. Ricky knows best. Believe in me. God bless you.
It's me, Ricky Williams.
Moxley's just as crazy as him.
No, Ricky! Bullshit!
They do it too sometimes. I'll be catching it.
It's me, Ricky Williams.
Stop playing.
But that's my opinion.
He's so over.
Ricky knows best, ladies and gentlemen. Ricky knows best. Believe in me. God bless you.
Up next, we have the comment of the weeks and the We Are Wrestling news and rumors. We'll be right back with more We Are Wrestling Podcast, Episode 9.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to the We Are Wrestling Podcast. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
You want additional content? Follow us on Patreon. We Are Wrestling.
What is up, We Are Wrestling Maniacs out there worldwide? I'm the host with the most, Mr. We Are Wrestling himself, the best one, Donnie, here with the Load Rager, Ben, and We Are Wrestling is joining Patreon in 2024.
Three tiers that are very affordable, and you can get your hands on them right now, with the first one being the Maniac tier, which is the $3 tier. It includes all videos ad-free. We give you a shout-out on the We Are Wrestling podcast, early uploads to vlogs and hot takes. Great one. Your name will also be featured on a Patreon graphic in the credits, and you get access to vote on future content.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Ben from We Are Wrestling, and make sure that you guys join the We Are Wrestling Patreon.
We Are Wrestling main eventer tier, which is only $5 a month. And some of the perks you get for, you know, being a main eventer is 2 bonus podcasts a month. 2! Not 1, 2! And you also get 1 throwback wrestling vlog a month. The host with the most, best one, Donnie, myself. I keep you posted with Donald is the best one news, with behind the scenes stuff going on in We Are Wrestling once a week. You get exclusive Patreon only series that include We Are Wrestling Old School versus New School and Holy Impact Podcast. And of course, you get all the perks from the previous tier. If you want to go the extra mile and you want to help We Are Wrestling out, go subscribe to the We Are Wrestling Patreon page.
The Hall of Famer tier, which is $10 a month, and this one is a gold mine. And here's why. This is everything that it entails. You get to enter our monthly giveaways. Wrestling figures, autographs, big one. I've seen this dude's mine, and it's a... ha! Yeah. And yeah, you also get autographs, memorabilia, etc. Send us a video, ask us any question that you want that'll be featured on whatever podcast you want, optional. And all the perks from the previous tiers.
For the We Are Wrestling Hall of Famer tier, a We Are Wrestling Maniac can be featured on the We Are Wrestling podcast?
They can be featured on the podcast 100%, man. That is the absolute truth.
We have lots of additional content. What can they get, Ben, on there?
A bunch of different shit that you're gonna have to find out if you fucking subscribe on Patreon, y'all.
You want additional content? follow us on Patreon. We Are Wrestling.
We're back. And every week here on the We Are Wrestling podcast, except for the last 2 weeks, we do this thing called the Comment of the Week. And if you want to get your comment featured on a future episode of the We Are Wrestling podcast, all you got to do is go to the We Are Wrestling social medias or the We Are Wrestling YouTube page and leave a comment. And this week, we have a first time in the line at Christopher Smith 210. And this was on the Adam Cole, you know, live reaction to when, you know, I saw him as the devil. He said this, and I quote, "Adam Cole has a history of turning on his friends. He did it in ROH when he joined Bullet Club. Did it to Kyle O'Reilly in NXT. Did it to the Elite in AEW, and now does it to MJF. Adam Cole even telegraphed that he was going to turn on MJF back in August before the devil stuff when he hugged him and he did the knife in the back taunt. It was going to happen. Now we get heel Adam Cole and the kingdom is back. Let's fucking go."
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, man, I'm very excited to see, you know, where this goes. And the one thing I do want to say about this comment of the week is, you know, great, you know, going back into history. And that's like my only, like, that's like a big thing I do have, you know, with AEW here is I wish that, like, they showed the stuff that, you know, Christopher
vignettes are fucking important.
Promo vignettes are important. And, like, that's one thing that AEW, I feel like, you know, they're missing a lot of the times. And WWE,
the struggling breath.
They do it best. But congratulations to Christopher Smith on the comment of the week. If you want to get your comment featured here on the We Are Wrestling podcast,
congratulations,
guys. Go to, you know, the We Are Wrestling social medias or the YouTube page and leave a comment. But now, let's get into the We Are Wrestling weekly news and rumors. So, starting things off, earlier this week, Andrade, you know, former AEW star, posted on social media that he's no longer in AEW. According to PW Insider, Andrade is interested in returning to WWE. What's your thoughts on him returning, and how would you book it?
Fantasy if you go booking. Back, if you go back in time, y'all know that I don't give a solid fuck about Andrade. I really never have. I've never seen the appeal. I never really cared. So am I surprised he wants to go back to WWE now? Now that, you know, obviously the grass is definitely greener on the other side because somebody else is running it. Absolutely, he's a Triple H guy. But at the same time, WWE's doing alright right now. You know, I don't know where I'd put him other than, you know, the angles with fucking, you know, Legado, or not Legado, fucking, you know, Santos Escobar, Carlito, fucking all that shit going on. I know he wants to be with his wife again, you know, I get that, but I'm like, where, bro? Where are you gonna fit in? You're just gonna end up disappointed again, you know? And I just,
WWE, man, there's not a lot of room in that.
There's not
room
anymore, bro. There's, I mean, dude, Jade Cargill hasn't even fucking made her goddamn debut yet. Oh, like, we're God, waiting till the Umbro.
Her training video and the
insane, insane. I guarantee Rumble is when it's happening.
100% Rumble.
100% Rumble. She is going to be a dominant force going into that Rumble. And honestly, if we're not going to repeat history yet again in WWE, she might be the one to win it. So I'm just saying that right now. I don't know who she's going to go against, but she's likely going to be the one to win it. And she's my pick to do it. So going to go with Jade Cargill. So you guys know who I'm voting for Rumble season.
So now, you know, getting back into Andrade, I'm going to give my thoughts on this. In WWE, to be truthful, just like you, I really wasn't a fan of his work. I know a lot of people, you know, I've always known he's been a fantastic, you know, wrestler in the ring, but his character work, I just wasn't a fan of what he was, you know, presenting to me. But in AEW, yeah. I will say this, in AEW, I was a fan of what he was doing when Collision first, you know, came back. I did like, you know, the feud that he did have with the House of Black for a little bit. And, like, his matches, I thought, were even better in AEW than WWE. And I kind of liked, you know, the character work that he was doing over there. So, I don't know. In my opinion, I feel like there is, you know, way too many people right now on the main roster for somebody like him to fit. If I were him, I would have stayed in AEW, but obviously he probably does want to be back with his wife, and he does, you know, him and Zelina Vega right now, she's got a lot of momentum as well, and they both, you know, work together back in, you
that's
know,
what I'm saying,
as well. So there could be something there with, you know, the LWO. We're just going to have to wait and see. I'm very curious to see if this run for Andrade will be better than his last run. Because I'm noticing that with a lot of, you know, former WWE stars, you know, the ones that got released by Vince McMahon, they left. And then now with Triple H, they're, you know, doing a lot better than they were.
Oh, perfect absolutely.
Example, Nia Jax, man.
She's doing really, really good now. Like, she definitely took her return seriously and is really improving for sure. And it shows.
Oh, man, absolutely. But we're just going to have to wait and see on, you know, Andrade, because there is also reports that he is interested in, you know, wrestling in Mexico full time. So we are going to have to wait and see. But moving on now to our next topic here. Kevin Dunn is no longer in WWE. According to PW Insider, a big factor in his decision of leaving WWE after working for them for over three decades is the changes since the merger with TKO. Kevin Dunn was the like head of gone. WWE Productions. What's your thoughts on his departure from the company?
Clearly, homeboy is not a fan that Vince is gone, because that was his right-hand man, dude. So, I mean, I can't blame him for, you know, the whole change of scenery. You know, it can definitely be unbecoming for some people. And it's 30 years, man. 30 years is a long time to give to a company. And, I mean, the dude's, like, definitely towards retirement age now. I mean, there's not much left for him to do. He was definitely a higher official in WWE and like one of the most well-known producers there are.
Shit, you know,
so that's what I'm saying. You know, like, yeah, if you want to get right off into the sunset now, go for it. You know, like, you paid your dues, you travel, you logged the miles, you've done it all. So I mean, man, good on you. Do what you gotta do.
Happy retirement. You know, I've been listening to, you know, a lot of, you know, other wrestling podcasters out there, their thoughts on this. And a lot of people in the wrestling community are not a fan of Kevin Dunn because of Vince McMahon. He was Vince McMahon's right-hand man. And you know what? I'm going to say it right here, okay? And I'm going to give Kevin Dunn his flowers.
Let's smack it down.
Thank you, Kevin Dunn, for, you know, three decades of, you know, awesome television.
Even though he can fuck himself for ruining Edge's return, but yeah.
Yes, but Kevin Dunn, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, we watched, he was the head of, you know, WWE Productions, and, you know, we watched, you know, what he was running, you know, during, you know, the production side of things. And a lot of the times, the production side of things, when it comes to movies and shows, they don't get the credit, you know, that they deserve. And, you know, I got to give Kevin Dunn credit, because dealing with, you know, a narcissistic prick like Vince McMahon for 30 years, honestly, he deserves to retire. He made a shit ton of money. Go sit on a yacht, go drink yourself a pina colada, and go fix those rat teeth. Congratulations, Kevin Dunn, on 30 years of World Wrestling Entertainment.
He said, go fix those rat teeth. I can't fucking believe you.
Well, hey, it could be worse. Jim Cornette, you know, does the rat noises. He goes, anytime he talks
Jesus
about them.
Jesus fucking Christ.
But moving.
Don't. No. If it has anything to do with Jim Cornette, no.
Moving, that's why I'm saying we're going to move on to the next topic here. WWE announced WrestleMania 41 is taking place in Minneapolis, Minnesota. What's your thoughts on this?
Minneapolis is a big city, you know, it gets mentioned all the time. You know, it's a big deal, especially since, you know, right now it's rumored and basically confirmed at this point, especially since he didn't have a lot of time on the clock left, as, you know, it was already kind of, you know, hinted at for a while now, that it could potentially be the site of Brock Lesnar's retirement match, because he realistically does not have to do this anymore by any fucking means. The dude was a dominant force for many years. He has probably the highest paid contract right now of an active, you know, superstar. I think he's going to be okay. So he could finally, and I think that's another reason as to why we've seen such a different Brock Lesnar in the last 3 years is because we're at the end now, man. You know, not all of these superstars that we love to hate are going to be around much longer. You know, Cena has already marked his shit is ending very soon, which is, I don't even want to think about his final match. I don't want to, so it's bittersweet because, you know, for a long time we were like, you know, fuck Brock Lesnar, you might as well just fuck off, he doesn't want to be here. But now the fact that, you know, it's approaching rather quickly, you know, it's almost bittersweet. It's almost bittersweet. It's like, damn, you know, we were like, fuck Brock for so many years, and now he's not coming back at all. There's not going to be any sporadic appearances from Brock Lesnar. He ain't that kind of dude. I don't see him being that kind of dude. So I think once he puts his boots in the ring, that's it. I think that'll be it. He's going to leave his gloves in the ring. He's going to march out, and that'll be the last time you see Brock Lesnar until probably either the Hall of Fame or maybe like a one-off final match or appearance.
You know.
So.
That's the thing, man. I feel like this is what they're going to definitely, you know, set up for WrestleMania 41, because Brock Lesnar really doesn't have anything else to prove. He's done everything
and has beaten everyone. So what the fuck?
Hall of Famer. And, you know, it makes sense, you know, WrestleMania 41 being in Minnesota. I really do like that because I think that this is the first time that WrestleMania has taken place in Minneapolis. And I feel like they absolutely deserve one. So I'm very excited, you know, for them to get Mania 41. And it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with Brock Lesnar. I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, right now they're not talking about it. But I think, you know, when we get closer to that time in 2025, we're going to be talking about it a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, it's going to be heartbreaking.
It is, honestly. I've always been a fan of Brock, and I'm going to miss him. I'm definitely going to.
Same here, man.
Because he's one of those guys that, like, isn't on social media. He's not in the public eye. So, like, we're not going to see Brock ever once he, like, you know, retires from WWE. In all seriousness.
It's, he's not going to show, he's not going to be one of those dudes that just pops up here and there, you know? It's going to be hard to see Brock Lesnar again unless he's doing other ventures. So, yeah.
Yep. Shit ton of money. But moving on now to our last, you know, topic for, you know, this week's episode of the podcast before the main event. Naomi is set to return to WWE. According to Fightful, WWE and TNA sources expect Trinity Fatu to return to WWE bearing unforeseen circumstances. WWE is very interested in bringing her back. What's your thoughts on them, you know, bringing Naomi back?
I know that it won't be for a while, considering her contract doesn't expire until the summer. But at the same time, again, like, I know that's Jimmy Uso's wife. I know that, you know, she was a fucking former champion. I know she had a huge stint in the company. But you were also riding on a very negative coattails of a very ungrateful little brat that's circulating the web right now. So it's not a good look, you know? You did the same fucking thing. You did the same fucking thing. And then when she bailed on your ass, you went somewhere else. So I just, it's embarrassing almost for me. Yeah, like, I appreciate what she's accomplished. She comes back. Cool. Again, for circumstances like that, I just, it's hard for me to care. It's hard, you know? It's hard for me to care.
The thing that we do have to consider here with Naomi, you know, wanting to come back to WWE, they're both got the opportunity to come back. And Mercedes, from, you know, the reports that we got, and obviously it's not a topic because we know how strongly you dislike her. There's reports that, you know, WWE was interested in her. They gave her a very good contract, but she wanted that Charlotte Flair big money contract.
She wanted Roman Reigns money.
And according to, you know, sources out there, these are rumors, Sasha Banks signed a 5-year, $25 million contract with AEW. It's not 100% confirmed yet, but those are the numbers that are running around the rumor mill. So I feel like Naomi shouldn't be getting as much heat than Mercedes because they both, you know, are getting an opportunity to go back to WWE and seems like, you know, Naomi, she wants to go back and, you know, see how, you know, things are during her second run. And I think that she did have a, you know, a pretty good, you know, Impact TNA run. She got some more eyes on the product. And honestly, like, I think the whole Mercedes Moné thing, that's just, you know, a whole nother situation that I feel like doesn't really involve Trinity anymore.
Meh.
I know how you feel, Ben.
But at the same time, I also thought that Trinity, Naomi, has always been way more talented than Sasha ever was. So I just 100%. So honestly, I don't mind. I honestly don't mind.
We're going to, yeah, we need to go to commercial, because if we go on about Sasha's, we've done it too many times.
Looks like a teenage girl flying around a fucking ring doing some stiff ass moves.
I think that she is one of the greatest women to ever step foot in the ring, but we're not going to do this here on the podcast. So guys,
clown
up next.
Clown.
Yeah, no, if you keep poking the bear,
clown,
yeah, we're going to have this discussion.
You look like a big ass bear right now.
Go to the getting put over segment and we can get to the main event. Or we could talk about this if you want to talk about this.
We might as well make it a fucking putting Sasha Banks over for you. So let's go. Put her over, Don.
But I can't, because this week is your turn.
No, it's your turn. I'm giving up your turn so you can simp out about Sasha Banks. So go ahead.
No.
I'm kidding.
I'm just saying, like, when it comes to the four horsewomen, because I know a lot of people are talking about the whole money thing with Sasha, and yes, it doesn't help that these reports are coming out whatsoever. I see it in your face. I see what everybody is saying. But in my opinion, I think all four horsewomen, they deserve the bag. They changed professional wrestling for the women. All four of them. Becky, Charlotte, Bayley, and Mercedes. Whether you love her or hate her, she has changed the women's division.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. We can't do this. We can't do this right now. Maybe on our Patreon, where, you know, people can, you know, pay.
We'll
for
give you
it
the uncut do. Fucking version.
Yeah. So uncut. Up next, guys, we have the getting put over segment, and of course, the topic that you guys are all waiting for, the main event. Talking about The Rock's return, you know, possibly going against Roman Reigns. All that coming up on the We Are Wrestling Podcast, episode 90.
Hey, this is Flip Gordon. You're listening to the We Are Wrestling Podcast. Let's flip and go!
Collecting has always had a special place in my heart, going all the way back to when I was a kid. I remember my parents taking me to Toys R Us and waking up on Christmas morning to a bunch of new action figures. I had bins filled with thousands of rare WWE, WCW, ECW, and TNA figures through the years until, unfortunately, I ended up selling my whole childhood without knowing the true value of my collection. 2 years after I made that horrible decision, the pandemic hit, and I realized there was a part of me that felt missing, and that was collecting. My whole life, I have loved collecting wrestling figures, wrestling memorabilia, classic video games, Nickelodeon stuff, sneakers, Funko Pops, and even Angry Birds. As time went by, I decided I wanted to get back into collecting, except this time, document it and rebuild my collection over on Best One Donnie. So, if you want to go back into time and relive my nostalgic memories, subscribe now. We're back, and every week, well, past 2 weeks we haven't done it, but we're back on track now.
Usually
this thing called the getting put over segment, where every week Ben and I, we alternate, we go back and forth, we pick a past, present, or future superstar, and we put them over. So Ben, it's your turn. Who are we talking about this week? And it's not Sasha Banks.
No, it's not Sasha Banks. We'll save that for next week. But this week, we're going to be actually talking about the Scottish warrior, the Scottish psychopath, Drew McIntyre. Really, really excited about it, man, because that dude, I'm actually really, really excited with what he's doing right now in his heel work, because this is the first time he's a heel since the very end, tail end of 2019. Because, you know, going into that, right after 2020, he was right on his babyface run, you know, because we're building him and Brock, and that's that whole Royal Rumble win really catapulted and turned Drew into who he was always supposed to be.
Main eventer.
Like a main eventer, because he was fucking built like one. Like, it was insane to keep putting a tag team championship on that fucking dude. Like, it was insane to do so. And I feel like he was a little too over to put just a mid-card strap on him. So I think it was time. And, you know, it just... This dude went from a skinny, tall-ass little thing from Air Scotland, basically creating noise in the UK where wrestling wasn't prominent at all, you know, and really got himself discovered, you know, along with Sheamus, you know, and going from there, traveling 12 hours every fucking time that he wanted to go wrestle and to teach a school and to go to a school, he put the work in and really made noise and went into all these independent shows and really became into himself, and then went to WWE very fucking early and went straight to TV. Didn't go through really much developmental other than FCW, actually, right?
This is FCW. I was gonna tag myself in. He actually, all
right, tag yourself in.
He actually was, you know, a part of FCW for.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. FCW.
He actually did win the Florida, you know, championship. He mm-hmm. won the tag titles. He won the world title, and he was, you know, prominent to, you know, a very big role over there. And then. Mm-hmm. He made his debut on, you know, SmackDown as Vince's, you know, chosen one. And he had the keys to the castle, won, you know, the Intercontinental Championship, and then
was going to win the fucking Royal Rumble.
And he joined, you know, 3MB, but we can't put that over, okay?
No, but we can also put his put over his struggle in getting out of that and reinventing himself.
Yes.
That dude, is one of... Like, that's another reason why I can't wait for, like, a Matt Cardona documentary, is because that fucking indie run is going to be incredible to watch. But Drew Galloway is, yeah, like Matt Cardona, Cody Rhodes, and a bunch of all of these other stars that went on the independent scene after getting let go, really making a name for themselves, and then getting called back home. And then took a subtle journey, a very humble journey, from NXT, won the world title, got called up on the main roster, ended up winning the tag titles shortly thereafter. We're at the Royal Rumble. Yep. And then shortly thereafter, we're at the Rumble. And the rest is fucking history. And the last 3 years of that has been history. And it's been a hell of a ride. That dude literally single-handedly carried the pandemic Thunderdome era on his back, bro. And it was flawless. If anybody has any reason to be pissed right now, it is Drew McIntyre, which is why I haven't blamed him for a damn thing he has done since turning heel, because the dude is like, you can't even see him as a heel. He's like a fucking anti-hero, because this is the most relatable superstar that anybody can really talk about. The dude won the big one in front of nobody.
And that's the thing, like, I gotta say, man, like, when it comes to Drew McIntyre, he really made a shitty situation into a great situation for himself.
He turned dog shit into fucking gold.
Yeah, and he pretty much, you know, carried the Thunderdome era. And I love this heel run, because a lot of the times they turn people heel, they turn people face with no legitimate reason. But, you know, with Drew McIntyre, it all makes logical sense why he is doing what he is doing.
He's a very good dude who's gone through some really bad shit and has tried to redeem it many times and has been fucked over by so many people that he finally snapped. Who can blame him? Who can blame him?
I'm not going to lie, man. I am still, like, kind of upset that he's not the world champion, but...
Same. He should have won it at Clash.
Obviously, they have big plans for, you know, CM Punk and Seth Rollins. Yes, that, yes, he definitely should have won at the Clash.
See, here's the thing.
I was talking about recently against Rollins.
Bro, I see Drew being a part of a triple threat at Mania than anything. I see him weaseling his way in the same way that Daniel Bryan weaseled his way into Edge and Roman's match. I see that happening. 100%. That dude is made of... Because here's the thing. What else would he do? That's the real thing that you have to ask yourself. What else would he do? in order to keep his ass around to get him to sign, you're going to want to at least keep him in the main event until you can have that chance to pull the trigger.
But the problem is, man, in this business that we love to talk about, in this business that we love to watch...
It's cutthroat, bitch, I know.
It's cutthroat, and that's the thing. I feel like CM Punk versus Seth Rollins, like, they're not going to add anybody to that because that match itself is
so personal. It's so personal.
It's unfortunate that right now we're in the boom period in WWE because McIntyre, if we weren't in the boom period, he probably would be a world champion right now.
It's sad because compared to CM Punk and fucking and Cody Rhodes, Cody and Seth are like fucking best friends. It's fucking nuts to think about that, but they're like best fucking friends. But no, like in terms of Drew, the dude just deserves so much more because he's just, again, has had such a spectacular career, an insane redemption story. Mind you, an insane fucking transformation, dude. Like, if you look at Kid Drew to Chosen One Drew to fucking WWE Champion Drew, you would never think that that was the same person in either photo, in either of the previous two. The dude completely is, he's the poster boy of find the best version of you and give it your fucking all, and you will literally get what you've always wanted. And he fucking did it. And Drew is, that is what is so worthy of him being put over, is just what he accomplished from the Thunderdome era alone, not even what he went through prior into what he went through now. Just the Thunderdome era alone deserves all of the putting over.
Absolutely. And I do want to talk about, you know, my fandom for Drew, because I have been such a huge fan of him, even when he was the Chosen
Drew
one.
Galloway, too.
Like, and TNA. When I was a kid around that time, and I remember going to a WWE live event in Springfield, Mass with my dad. And, you know, my dad, he doesn't really watch the shows weekly, but he pays attention. And at the show, he noticed Drew McIntyre. And he looked at me and he told me, this guy right here, there's something about him. He is a main eventer. This guy right here is a superstar. And that just always stuck with me for some reason. And, you know, with my wrestling figures, I made Drew McIntyre my world champion. I love this, his old theme song, The Broken Dreams, which...
Yeah.
Honestly, if there's a time to bring it back, it's right now, because all his dreams, they feel broken. Like, it fits him so perfect. But, you know, putting Drew McIntyre over, obviously, we put him over as the character and, you know, the whole Thunderdome era. But now, let's talk about some of our favorite matches of his and put those over.
Bet him and Brock, WrestleMania. Phenomenal match. And it was literally as silent as a fucking, like, whisper. It shit was so quiet, but they put on an electrifying enough match to keep you super invested, and it felt like a WrestleMania level match for they had.
Wasn't that match 5 minutes?
No, it wasn't 5 fucking minutes. Didn't feel like 5 minutes. If it was 5 minutes, it was a glorious 5 fucking minutes. It was a glorious 5 minutes, because I remember just how incredible it was. That match was great. His most recent match with Seth, phenomenal.
Great match.
His match with
with Rollins, are we talking about the Premier Live Event match or the first one on Raw of the year?
The Premier Live Event match, bro. That match was incredible. That match was fucking incredible.
Cause I love the Raw match, the day one.
Day one was fucking great too. It just broke my heart a little bit for obvious reasons. I think another good match with Drew, because there's fucking plenty, dude. There's
Here's
so
one.
Many.
You think about the next one. You know, I'll say one of
honestly, mine. Roman and Drew at Clash.
Roman and Drew, that was a great match.
Yeah, Roman and Drew. Yeah, Roman and Drew was fucking insane. Fucking insane, because it showed how good of a fucking just straight up wrestler he is. So those are some of my favorite.
So, you know, when it comes to Drew, I've been such a huge fan of his. I honestly really enjoyed, you know, his matches that he had with John Morrison back in the day for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yep.
Those were some really fun matches that he had. Also, I gotta, you know, put him over in TNA Impact. This is when, like, I kind of started fading away once he left. Yeah. I loved his match with Kurt Angle. He had a couple great ones with him. Also, hey. WrestleMania, when the crowd came back, Drew versus Bobby Lashley. I thought that that was a great first
match. That was
match
an emotional entrance for him because he knew he was losing.
Being yeah, back. I thought that was great.
It was heartbreaking, though, because he knew he was losing. And it just, it really bugged me out because I'm like, dude, he should have gotten that redemption moment. He should have. And I feel like they really pulled the plug on it.
And I'm also got to say, too, the triple threat match at last year's WrestleMania, Gunter versus Sheamus versus McIntyre.
Phenomenal.
That, you know, phenomenal stole the show, in my opinion.
That was basically a five-star classic, legitimately, because everybody fucking gave it their all that match and everybody looked good.
Yeah, so I got to say, man, Drew has had one incredible career, and I think that, you know, he still has a lot more in the tank, and I feel like he's going to have a really good year in 2024.
Oh, absolutely.
So, guys, this week, we put over Drew McIntyre, Drew Galloway, and, you know, that this was Ben's decision, which, honestly, man, great pick for this week. Next week, I get to pick who we're going to be putting over.
Sasha Banks.
No, we're not going to be putting over Sasha Banks. Instead, we're going to be putting over somebody in the Ruthless Aggression era because I like to pick my underrated wrestlers.
Okay.
And I am going to go with Rene Dupree.
Do we want to do Rene or do we want to do Fifi? Or Sylvain? La Resistance.
All three members. We're putting them over next week.
All right, we'll do Rene Dupree.
That is the getting put over segment. So now, with that being said, let's dive into the main event topic for the We Are Wrestling Podcast, episode 90. And this Monday on Raw, we saw the return of The Rock teasing a potential match with Roman Reigns, making a table reference. What's your thoughts on this? What should WWE do? Because obviously, with, you know, WrestleMania right around the corner, having The Rock tease something, Cody Rhodes finishing the story, Roman going on to beating Hulk Hogan's record. What should WWE do about this? This is the main event topic, damn it!
I can see you're very excited, and I'm very excited, too.
I am so excited. This is the topic that I've been waiting to talk about. All these other topics, yes, they're worth talking about, but they're like little talk. This is a big discussion. I'm excited.
Okay. Well, as you know, he came back Monday. They trolled us with Jinder Mahal, which I feel like was kind of mean on Jinder's behalf. But at the same time, he still drew a lot of people in that segment.
You better get more opportunities too.
Yeah, especially after that shit. The Rock coming back, we knew it was going to happen eventually. But now shit be happening, if you know what I mean. We're getting it, you know, we're getting Rockin' Roman at Mania 40. We're finally building up to it. Like I said, homeboy could be back at any point as soon as Friday. Cause he said that The Rock himself said that it's just getting started. I'm really, as far as his title reign, I don't think we're going to pull the Hogan title reign because there was a leak that came out that I had sent to you in the group chat earlier today saying that he could drop the title at either Royal Rumble. The Rock could interfere somehow at the Royal Rumble and Randy could take it, or he could fuck him up at the Elimination Chamber. Something could happen at the chamber. And then, because here's realistically the thing we've been saying for decades on this fucking podcast. Roman and Rock does not need a title.
It does not. Need a championship.
Give it to Cody Rhodes and Randy. And then for fucking World Heavyweight, give it to Seth and CM Punk. Then Rock and Roman is a head of the table match. And that literally is main event worthy already. You do not need a title.
You know something? I think that what WWE needs to do here, because if you get The Rock and Roman, you have to do it at WrestleMania. Like, I understand Elimination Chamber is going to be held in Australia.
I'm not saying a match. I'm saying The Rock's going to fuck him out of winning his title.
Before Mania
before Mania. That's why he's not going to have the title at Mania, and it's not going to be for a title. It's just going to be the head of the table fucking title. Head of the table match, rather.
So, right after that,
Roman will take time off.
Yeah, so here's what I would do, and normally WWE doesn't do this anymore. I know they did it way back in the day. Like, I would have, you know, I would try to find some way to have, you know, Cody Rhodes, you know, win the Rumble again or do something where, because obviously the big problem we have now with Cody versus Roman is how do we get Cody from Raw to SmackDown? That's the, like, only thing that I'm concerned with.
Here's the thing.
The only way
he doesn't need to
do that is winning the Rumble.
I don't want him winning the Rumble.
I don't want him to win the Rumble either.
I want, honestly, if you want my realistic who I want to win the Rumble, I want either Punk. I'm not going to say it. Never mind. But yeah, I 100% would rather Punk win it, you know, and go with Seth and then fucking have Randy win at the Rumble and have The Rock fuck Roman over and pull a heel ass move and strip him of all of his fucking power and then have him play mind games through the entire fucking run until WrestleMania.
Well, that's the thing, though, about the Rumble, too, because as we're recording this, we don't know who's facing Roman, because on Friday, we're supposed to be getting a triple threat match. It's going to be AJ Styles versus LA Knight versus Randy.
It's going
to
be Randy.
Winner of that goes to the Rumble and faces Roman.
It's going to be
Randy.
I hope
it is Randy.
Honestly. It's going to be Randy.
But I feel like it would have been so cool if they did a Fatal 4-Way.
Because right now I think the angle is going to eventually have LA Knight taking the title off Logan. So I think they're going to go there first.
LA
and then
Knight
20 Rumble 25 is going to be LA Knight.
Yep, that's what I think too. It's going to go all back around, like, you know, John Cena at WrestleMania 20, he won the US title. LA Knight's going to win the title at 39. Then we're going to go to, you know, or no, LA Knight's going to win the title at 40. And then we're going to go to 41. LA Knight's going to win the Rumble. Yeah. And he's going to win himself the championship, just like Cena beat JBL for the title. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I think that if there's a time to do it, it's got to be the Royal Rumble or, you know, Chamber. Have The Rock screw Roman. That is probably the best thing that they can do, because not only are you, you know, not hurting Roman Reigns' you know, credibility, but we're finally going to be having a full-time champion, and we need that on SmackDown, because right now, yes, I love me some Logan Paul, but this dude hasn't even defended the championship yet, and he's had it for like 60 days now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two part-time champions on SmackDown, and I think personally, it's time that The Rock, you know, comes in and screws Roman. I think what they should do is they should do it at the Chamber. Cody versus Roman, Elimination Chamber in front of 70,000 people, and have Cody finally finish the story with Roman. The Rock screws Reigns. That's what leads to their main event at WrestleMania. And then you can have Cody face, you know, whoever is in line, which, you know, realistically, it would be kind of cool to see, you know, Randy Orton.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But we're going to have to wait and see, man, because right now we are so close to the road to WrestleMania, and things are only going to be getting very interesting from here, and we're going to be having lots of topics, you know, leading up to Mania.
Hell yeah.
But guys, we do want to let you all know that We Are Wrestling. We're going to be live on, you know, next Saturday, January 13th. I will be live for TNA Hard to Kill. And, you know, at the end of the month on Saturday, January 27th, we're going to be live for the biggest stream in We Are Wrestling, the Royal Rumble. It is definitely one you're not going to want to miss. We have lots of big things in store. Also, the Patreon page is live now. And if you guys want your chance to win a WWE Elite 106 Jey Uso, all you got to do is become a member on the Patreon page. We have three different tiers. We have the Maniac, we have the Main Eventer, and we have the Legend, exclusive content, and a lot of cool behind-the-scenes stuff. But let us know in the comment section below your thoughts on all the topics we talked about this week. We want to hear your opinion. If you guys enjoyed this week's episode of the We Are Wrestling Podcast, episode 90, make sure to smash that like button now if you're listening. Give us a 5-star review, not just any review, a best one review, and download the episode. But if you're watching this over on the We Are Wrestling YouTube channel and you haven't checked out all the amazing content we have over there for free, recommend you guys to hit that subscribe button now, turn on the post notifications. The link's down in the description below. You can go follow myself and Uncle Ben over on our social medias and other YouTube pages, all that down below. In addition, you're looking for wrestling news, exclusive videos and stuff, go follow us over on our social media. We Are Wrestling social medias, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram, all that down below. And of course, to all the We Are Wrestling maniacs out there worldwide, we are taking over. Peace.